Mr. Humphries, leave my pussy alone.
I just went gay all of a sudden.
It's funny because it's true.
You sound gay. You look gay. You're gay.
Podcast.
Well, now we've got that sorted out, can we get on?
Podcast.
Hello, it's the podcast.
What is it?
The podcast. Oh, it's the podcast.
Yeah.
I'm so drunk, I can't even say the name of the show.
No, it's a good start. It's a good start.
You're on the podcast with Andrew Richard.
And I'm Will Anderson.
Going Brandon. And I'm Tony O'Sullivan.
Adam Richard. Fabulous Adam Richard. Yeah. Outrageous. Scott Brennan. Punctual Toby Sullivan. Go on.
I forgot the catchphrase. Oh, is this going to take long?
You have one line. Come on.
Line.
Shame.
Suspicious start to what is basically our deleted scenes episode, or as we call it, fag ends and fuck bits.
Yeah. You know when it's kind of the end of the week and you haven't been shopping and you just look in the fridge for dinner and just make it out, so you end up having like a gherkin pasta or something. That's basically what this show is.
You have a carrot and duck risotto.
Everything that's just left in the fridge.
Well, there's things that would have been cut out because the podcast went too long. There's been things that cut out just because, you know.
There are some litigious people out there, and
but then we're going to play it again. It doesn't matter. And there's also things have been cut out. But, well, not cut out. I just forgot to put them in. Like when Mardi Gras was on, we were talking about Mardi Gras. I forgot to do that.
Okay. So, and you tend to drink a lot, so
I drink a lot. I'm drunk now.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So here's like what we like to call the Apple C Apple V podcast. The podcast, people.
Dennis Waterman. Yes! No! 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 Dennis Waterman. Dennis Waterman. I saw Dennis Waterman. No. Jesus. I saw Dennis. Dennis Waterman used to know. Dennis Waterman used to go to the hairdresser of a girl. You know Helen from the newsagents? Her aunt was in London at the time. And Dennis Waterman once went for a beer with the hairdresser of the sister. No, you know who I'm talking about. He played in that James Bond film. Sorry, not James Bond. It was,
What?
You know,
So where did you see him?
Who
are you talking about?
I can't talk. I have to go and do the dishes. They won't do themselves. Go on, be useful for a change. Oh.
Who Gosh. Have you become?
Oh,
who?
I think I've become a mother.
Who have you got? Oh, hot flash.
Hot mother. Oh, it's hot. Oh, you know.
Oh, hot flash. Hot flash.
Let me get this straight. He was at the Tivoli.
He was at the Tivoli. You know, we went and saw him. He was in Run For Your Wife at the Tivoli. And we saw him. We went and saw it at the Tivoli, and then Glenda and Peter.
David Spade.
And we went, no. Oh, no, maybe, no. And then we went and had that meal at that cafe, at that bistro in Camberwell. And you remember, because Alan had the trots for days afterwards. Alan had the trots for days afterwards because you complained to the waiter about the service, and I'm sure he spat in the soup. And you know he's got his hair. Oh, you know. He was in Midsummer Murders. He was in that episode. In Midsummer Murders, he was the one that ran the shop.
I'm out.
And his wife was poisoned. Oh, you must know. Oh. Anyway, how have you been?
Scotland. It was so real and went for so long. It became too much then.
It's so
good. Oh, you know.
And then you get two of them. Oh, yes, that chap with the... Yes, he's got the... Yeah. And what's his name?
Oh, I'll think of it tomorrow.
Toby, get out your computer phone. Look up Midsummer Murders Butcher. Oh.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Is it Tom Cruise? Yes!
No. Someone's sister went for a beer with Dennis Waterman.
Dennis Waterman.
Oh.
And they always remember them from some... You know, back when it was like the Little Theatre at St. Martin's, we used to subscribe all the time. We'd go there all the time.
The Little Theatre at St. Martin's. Jesus.
I mean, he was in that panto.
He was. He was playing,
the prince or the cat or the goose or the...
Something like... I just remember the wallpaper was flocked. Yeah. And it was, and it made me feel queer.
And we sat right up in the gods and we had that ice
that's
cream.
Right.
What was the ice cream? Was it Eskimo pie or something?
Oh, it was like a bubble.
No, it was
anal douche.
Yeah.
Still, anyway, what was I talking about?
And then we saw the show and then you rimmed me in the car park.
What was I talking about?
No, it wasn't in the car park. My memory's terrible nowadays.
No, I just want you to do this.
Two absent-minded mothers.
Oh, man.
I used to sing that girl Debbie. Debbie died when I was 7. Oh, well. Takes all kinds.
Oh. All right, let's...
Debbie Lee Finesse.
Oh, she died when I was 7.
Yes, and she became a man.
Things have gone. Are you recording?
Yeah, I'm taping.
Things have gone from bad to worse.
Have you been recording all of that?
I'm right here.
Oh god. Podcast.
All right. Thanks, Trevor. I'll see you in a few hours.
Okay. Call back. I'll be wearing a jock strap.
Oh dear, I wish this bit had an end.
Is that too much saying that I wanted to bludgeon Stephen Shane?
He was a little assertive.
A little, but you know.
I would want to beat him up, I just would.
He's pretty funny.
I find him annoying.
I find him
really irritating. So I would probably root him, but...
I love how you never said, no, I would kill him and bury him in a shallow grave, but you would have sex with him.
Well, it's a shame they're wasted trip.
You could have just said, no, I don't want to fuck him and be done with it. But no, I would fuck him and then because I fucked him, I'd have to kill him.
Yeah.
You're an insane slut. You're a psycho slut.
And proud of it.
Podcast. Oh, dear, again.
I like that look, that kind of hit.
The coy little...
Oops. So Murray Tregoning.
That was a good one.
That had texture and width.
It did.
Personality and emotion. That had drama and arc.
I do good verbs.
That was beautiful.
Oh, it's got such a bubbly edge to it.
Yeah, I'm not listening anymore.
That one's frothy.
And it was all on for young and old, and then we get to... Did you know?
Yes.
Yeah, and I was like totally into it. It's hot, everything. Mm. And then we get in the cab and we get onto Hoddle Street.
Mm.
And he goes to me, he just kind of turns and goes, so, T.O.B.
T.O.B.
What? Like, what? And he goes, T.O.B. I go, what? Sorry, what?
What are you talking about?
He goes, top or bottom. And I went, well, I don't know. Can we work it out when we get back?
Yeah.
It's too, you know, and he said, I said, you know, mostly top, I guess, you know. And he said, this isn't going to work, get out.
And threw you out of the cab.
Threw me out of the cab and I'm standing outside Hungry Jack's.
No.
How convenient for you, though.
No.
You fucked an onion ring.
I wasn't ready for that. It was still only 2 a.m. I got straight back in the cab and went. Another cab.
That's bizarre.
But I honestly, because when this top or bottom thing is new to me, I didn't really, you know, when they said...
T.O.B.
T.O.B.
Wow.
T.O.B. Obviously, he recognised my voice from...
The podcast.
The podcast.
Yeah.
Jesus shit.
Yeah. So I've been picked up on my voice so many times.
Oh, yeah.
You sound like that faggot from the radio. Can I suck your cock? I'm not. That's my brother.
I'm sorry about that.
Faggot far too much today.
That's totally going to become a bumper.
Faggot from the radio. Can I suck your cock?
Poofcast.
Midsummer.
Oh. Midsummer is here.
I think
we can all feel the excitement in this.
It's just really bubbling, isn't it?
Why is it now? Like, why have it now when Mardi Gras is, like, within a few weeks?
Midsummer, of course, the big Melbourne
gay and lesbian festival.
Still the only major arts festival in Melbourne to have a wank party in the official program. To its credit, I will admit that Midsummer does insist on including Melbourne wankers in their official program.
It's true.
Which, I don't know, some people say that impugns the integrity of a cultural festival.
I don't know.
A lot of people are of the view that until it's an Olympic sport, you can't.
Toby, I don't know if you've been to a film in the Melbourne International Film Festival, but there's a lot of wanking going
there's
on
there.
There's
a lot of wank party happening there.
There are a lot of festivals that can only be made better by a wank party.
I think a wank party in a festival is just an admission of what kind of a thing a festival is to begin with.
Just a wank party.
I think it's the most honest of festivals because it includes that.
You can just do whatever. Just do it.
Going to see John Safran interviewing fucking, I don't know, like David Lean or something.
They may as well just have their dicks out.
Yeah, have you been to the Writers Festival? Oh my God. It is hand on cock the entire time.
So your view is, I see you, David Sedaris, and I raise you no lips below the hips.
Pretty much.
That's your policy.
Great.
But Midsummer, like most festivals, it's interesting that you say that, because most festivals are somehow specialised to some extent. Their performance or film or whatever. But Midsummer's got all of that,
everything.
Volleyball and parties.
And
best ass competition.
Midsummer mooning.
Yes.
It's like a bargain basement bin of entertainment pursuits. You know? Fucking what else is in here? Holy shit.
You know what it's like? It's kind of like, what if gay people tried to make Hey Hey It's Saturday? And it just went, oh, we can't fit it all into one show. We're going to have 3 weeks of it.
Yay.
They'll swap Chook Lotto for Bear Nation or something.
Oh, it's all, you know, there's probably some gay bingo or shit house speed dating.
But there's all of
thing.
That kind of stuff and just everything thrown in.
Oh, do you know what? Maybe you're right. I'd always thought it was a bit shit, but maybe you're right. Maybe it actually is a wonderful opportunity. Because Mardi Gras can be a little bit sanctimonious sometimes.
Mardi Gras has been through so many iterations. Like, it was a cultural festival for a while. Now it's just...
It's just
the
whatever.
Parade.
Yeah.
And
pretty much, yeah.
Nothing else.
I mean, there is a cultural festival attached still, though.
They do have performance and stuff. They have fucking, you know, teenagers doing tedious coming out plays.
The coming out monologue. Sort
of Marsha Hyde singing the hits of fucking Carole King. Yeah.
Do they have a jerk off party at Mardi Gras?
No.
They do in the office, by the sounds of it.
But Mardi Gras is kind of. I'm uncomfortable with it. I know it's meant to be a rebellion and it's meant to be, look, this is us, we're loud, we're proud, but it feels like...
It feels like a rebellion that's now broadcast on Foxtel.
Yeah.
You know what it feels like? It feels like the fucking Penguin Parade in Phillip Island.
It is a bit,
It's like straight people come down, let's go and look at the poofters, they're hilarious!
Well, this has been my criticism of Mardi Gras for a while now. Like, I reckon Mardi Gras needs to be more political. It needs to go back to its roots of what it actually was.
Yeah.
Be more dangerous.
It was a protest rally.
Yeah.
And now it's just guys in Speedos with their bums out, which is fine. I'm not complaining about that, but, you know, just a few less bums and a few more actual points.
But also, like, guys with their ass hanging out of their pants is not hard to find on Oxford Street.
No, this is true.
No.
You know.
Right here, Toby. Yeah.
So you think there should still be a parade, but it should be more...
But it's also so close to the Melbourne one. Like, I mean, this is our fault in Melbourne because, you know, they were here first.
We're the new ones.
Yes, very true.
We came in and went, it's in March and we can't do a pride march in March. That just sounds stupid. We'll do it in February.
Just be the poor cousin.
See, Melbourne Pride... See, this is the danger in what you say, because Melbourne Pride is a bit more political than Mardi Gras.
Yes, it is.
And it's no fun.
It's passively political. Like,
it's just, there's a little bit of kind of protest, but the Melbourne Pride March is about the community groups.
All right, can I say it? Melbourne Pride March is about dumb cunts with banners.
Yeah.
It is a bit...
Which is what they were going to call it, but...
didn't test well on
no,
the focus screws.
No, it didn't go well with the focus screws.
I mean, everything's a double-edged sword, because on one hand, it's lovely. Like
it's inclusive. Yes. It's, you know.
Every fuckwit who's got two friends that likes the same episode of The Simpsons has a float in pride.
Yes.
You know, we're like homos that like the Apu does karaoke episode.
Lesbians that like triangles.
Which is great. It's great that they, you know, can represent and all that sort of stuff, but it does make it pretty tedious.
Yeah, I want a mixture. I want to combine Melbourne Pride and Mardi Gras.
Mm-hmm. In Albury.
Get it?
In Albury.
Yes, perfect.
Great.
And it can go for 2 months as we actually walk up the Hume.
Oh, great.
That would be an amazing Pride march. It'd be like, you know, when you get the GAN across from Adelaide to the GAN, whatever it is. You get the gay GAN from from Melbourne to Sydney, and you all sit in a bus and you go in a sleeper coach. And
yeah, great.
That'd be awesome.
See?
That's it.
Let's do it. It'll just be the three of us with our one banner.
Yeah.
Proud gays who have shit podcasts.
Yeah.
But like the others are down the other end of the year. Like, I think the Brisbane ones are like in June or July or something.
Well, that's because it's in Brisbane and you can actually be outside in June.
Yeah, that's true.
And Adelaide's in November. Like, they're all far enough away that you don't run into each other.
What could we, you know, if we walk from Melbourne to Sydney in time for Mardi Gras, we could make it up to Brisbane by June.
Yeah.
We could just do like an around Australia Pride, continual Pride March.
Continual Pride
throughout the year.
You know who'd have us on?
Who?
Carrie Ann. She'd love
that. Oh, she would love it.
She'd come.
She would come.
She would come, love.
She'd be like the Queen of Moomba.
Podcast. So next question. What would you confess on your special Oprah guest episode? When the Big O has you on, what will you spill?
I think they can just replay this whole interview to date. That'll be me done.
There'll be quite the revelations
in this. You know what would happen, Sammy, is that you would go to say one of these stories and Oprah would grab you on the knee and said, so, you walked around Frankston with the Technicolor coat. Tell us about that.
I did.
It's okay. We're going to go to a break. When we come back, Sammy will, through my mouth, tell you some other stories.
I am in love with men!
That's how she gets people to reveal things. She just shouts things at them. But I want to talk! All right, final question, Sammy.
I would then make love to her on the couch just to prove my head.
Just, okay, right.
Now, this is
terrifying.
Speaking of Oprah's couch, that is the one thing I think that says that Tom Cruise is not gay, because I do not know any self-respecting homosexual that would get on another woman's couch with shoes on.
With shoes and jump up and down.
Jump up and down.
That's
true. It's just offensive.
That's true.
It's offensive to soft furnishings. Which Mardi Gras float would you most like to be a part of?
Oh, I think there's been some horrible digestive catastrophe.
Yeah, yes. Never mix your meat,
she
Kel.
Said question 13 on the screen.
No, it's not me.
No.
Was that not the question?
For someone else.
Oh, no, here we go.
Okay, now she's having some sort of fit.
The pig's turning. The pig's gone crazy.
Oh, my God.
Run for your lives. The question pig has gone mad. Do you know what? That pig and that sheep are the most fucked up magic eight ball I've ever seen.
All right. Well, it's time for the community billboard down here at the end of the podcast. And, well, we're talking about all things Queenie, so I don't think that...
Look, you can't... The men's underwear won't fit you, all right? They won't fit you. Put them back in the rack.
The store.
Not into David Jones.
Oh, look, I just... she made me pretend she was my guide dog.
Lesbian.
Yeah. Guide lesbian. Now, she's not getting a job at a call centre with that abrasive attitude.
Not that attitude.
That was monitored for quality assurance. And you failed.
Your barks may be recorded.
Can I tell you about... This is nothing to do with... Oh, it's kind of water sportsy.
Same but different.
Oh. We,
My partner and I.
No. You and Camilla.
Me and Camilla. No, yeah.
Listen to David Furnish over here.
It's a long, kind of complicated story because, you know, I get asked to do these bear things all the time because I'm fat and hairy.
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
So I did this bear thing and ended up at some party. We were all drunk on beer and had no shirts on. Which is the only time I've been dancing without a shirt is when there are other fatter people around.
Yeah, right.
And I won the raffle, and I tried to give the raffle prize away, and no one would take it, and it was very embarrassing. And so I took it home, and in it was, like, you know, some pornos and a voucher to Club 80.
Yeah.
And a douching hose.
Oh.
Not just a kit, but, like, one that you could plumb in.
Oh, great.
And it sat under my bed for years. And then when I moved in with my boyfriend, he's quite a dab hand with a spanner.
He's very handy.
Nice, nice.
Yes.
And so he installed it in the ensuite next to the bedroom.
So you have a plumbed in
I have a plumbed in douching
See, that's amazing. That's like, that's commitment to anal. That's what that is. That's like signing a contract. That's like you know, being pinned by anal sex. You know, that's commitment. You're officially kind of going out with anal now.
Do we have to explain to our more genteel listeners?
A douching hose.
The douching hose.
Well, you know,
connects to the shower?
It connects to the shower. It has like a wand at the end.
Yeah, you're getting a bit Harry Potter.
Insert into your anal cavity. And you don't turn the taps on too hard or you'll explode.
Mm.
But you just get a little nice flow of water, rinse around in there, then, you know, shush it out
into the toilet.
There you go. I just know there's a couple of nuns that listen.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's for douching, basically. It's for cleaning your back snatch before copping a load of cock. Just because, you know, you want your sheets to stay nice and tidy.
Exactly. Oh, there is nothing worse.
There's nothing worse than shit on the sheets.
There's nothing worse than a dirty cubby house.
There's nothing worse also than being late at night, having sex, and then going, we need to change it. We need to remake the bed. And I'm
we
really
need to move
tired.
House.
Said it before. Yeah. Nothing worse than when sex becomes like checking the oil in your car. You've got to dip it in, pull it out, wipe it off. Yeah, just...
No, to credit much. To no one.
So we have a douching hose.
That is industrial strength gate.
Now, yeah, that
also,
is.
Also, because I am a wealthy homosexual that works in breakfast radio, and I'm very busy.
Yes.
I have a little woman that comes in to clean the house.
I can't. Is that a euphemism?
I'm an actual cleaner.
That's an actual. Okay, good.
And she. So the first couple of times it happened, I thought, you know, the douching hose had been used for its intended purpose, and then realised, oh, no, he never winds it around the taps like that. He just leaves it hang down. And I went into the ensuite one day when she was there cleaning it, and she uses the douching hose to clean the grout.
In fairness, as do you.
Yeah. I do too. But that's because, you know, it's there and it's good and it's easy.
Is she wearing gloves while she's doing this?
Yes, but I just wonder, does she know what it's for?
She's probably thinking,
nice boys special grouting hose.
Also, because the other shower in our house is broken, and so we've got a big sign that's saying, please do not clean, because there's a crack in the floor and it'll
the
water will go into the house. So maybe she thinks that, I don't know.
Oh, wow.
Oh, bless.
One day, she's going to stumble across the right website and realise what the fuck she's been using.
She's going to learn a difficult lesson.
Because that's the thing, we've been hiding the, you know, the butt plugs and the amyl and the lube and trying to put all that places where she can't see it. And then I come home and it's like, oh, there she is. Oh.
As long as she's not using it to brush her teeth, everything's fine.
Do you know what? You don't need to hide stuff from the cleaning lady. She has seen it.
Everybody
hides.
She's very chatty, though, and she will talk about it. So
okay.
Yeah. Yeah, you just imagine opening up new idea. Cleaning ladies, butt plug hell.
What? Look at me, my first world problems, talking about my cleaning lady. Oh, she's you.
Oh, my God.
Cleaning lady has ruined my douching hose. I can't even look at it now.
Wow. There are children in Africa who can't even afford a douching hose for their cleaning lady to use. Okay, Adam?
That is true.
Don't be
that
selfish.
That is true.
Yeah. Oh dear. Tom, who's your favourite diva?
Okay, so I kind of like a few different divas. I think Lady Gaga and Beyonce are both good.
Right, right.
So this is my other problem, is that you guys, as soon as you say that you like anything, it makes straight guys think that they're not allowed to like it anymore.
You can't have Beyonce, she's ours now.
You have so much power. You have so much power.
Oh, my God.
You just go, we like Kylie. Oh, great, now you guys own Kylie.
Right. I never thought of that before.
But no, is that more because that makes straight people go, oh, if I admit that I like Kylie, then everyone's going to think I'm a faggot.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like Kylie.
I just think straight guys like Kylie. I think there's a lot of straight guys that would like Kylie. I've seen straight guys lose their shit on the dance floor over Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
They would never talk about it with each other.
It's because it sounds like a sports chant. Hoorah! Ooh, Gaga!
Yeah.
It sounds like something you can sing at the soccer.
Yeah.
I never knew we had such power to terrorise these poor straight men.
Oh, my God. So, yeah, we're just having the straight guys. It's like, what happens with Gaga stays with Gaga.
Do you know what? I'm just going to hang out at straight bars. I'm going to go to, like, you know, the bar in Chapel Street or King Street or something and just stand outside and go, oh, my God, I totally love Subway. Gotcha. Gotcha, fuckers.
Yeah.
Suffer. Gays like Subway now. You'll never eat again.
Oh, I'm going to stand on Chapel Street and go, oh, my God, I totally love popped collars. Oh, stop them.
You guys could rid the world of everything bad.
Yes.
We could be gay superheroes.
I love Ed Hardy T-shirts.
I'm a gay superhero. My special X-Men power is the removal of body hair.
All right.
Well, you just proclaim the love of every continent until all straight guys have to move to Antarctica.
Oh.
Well, Scott's anus has already proclaimed
his love for quite a lot.
Yeah, Asia, yeah. Africa, and most of the Americas.
Okay, so. Next question. is there a particular gaybo or leso that makes you so angry that you actually contemplate becoming homophobic? Makes you want to be homophobic?
I don't know any celebrities that I hate, but there was this guy at the Aquila shoe store. who was rather uppity with me.
Right.
And I did not appreciate his tone. And I said, I think I'll just have a look down the rest of Little Collins Street and maybe come back. And he goes, well, if you liked it, then you just buy it.
Oh!
Bitch, please.
Bitch,
please.
So,
oh, my God. Yeah. Isn't that a line from Single Ladies?
Who's crossed?
What? I'm black.
Okay, Adam's lost his shit.
I've got soul. What are you talking
lost
about?
His mind.
I love it. I'm from the street.
I just love that we say urethra and you just.
What you.
The stars are doing it.
Also because she's so massively fat. And you...
And you're like the complete opposite of...
Yeah. I am the antidote to Aretha Franklin.
You're like the anti-matter. Like if you touched...
You could be Aretha Franklin's G-string.
If she and I ever met, we'd just disappear because we'd cancel each other out.
You would cancel her out.
Precisely. Precisely.
Never touch. Never touch.
Never don't cross the beams. We did spend a bit of time at Pampy's, the other gay
Pampy's.
Bar.
Yes.
The other gay bar.
Ooh. The gay bar that
where customer service goes to die.
Yes.
That first Sunday we were there.
Oh, it was like a fucking horror movie. Oh, it was like the Bates Hotel. Yeah. It was such a horrible place.
No, see, you were there when it was kind of vaguely, you know, it was okay. The first day we were there, while we were waiting for our room to be ready, they had like a barbecue at the back. And so I've gone and bought my barbecue ticket and gone and said, oh, yeah, I wanted to get some barbecue. And the chef's like, oh, what? I thought we'd been through. Oh, no, I'm going to turn it back on.
two people had bought sausages, so we turned it off.
Yeah.
And by the way, they were charging $10, by the way, to get a sausage on a bit of old shitty bread and some pasta that was just mixed with tomato ketchup.
Yeah.
Yeah, like yeah. The pasta shitty. Salad was penne and tomato sauce and a couple of bits of salami. Yeah.
And every time you walked in, the whole staff would be sitting at one table all chatting, and they'd be going, oh, someone's here. Yeah. It was such a chore to serve the customers.
There were like holes in the wall.
Yes.
And like text to writing on the wall.
I think they're halfway through renovating it and they just went, oh, no, fuck it.
Oh,
it's
fuck
just
it.
Open.
Just don't care.
But as you said, Toby, when we were there one day and they were preparing for a special night that night because they were having a big daiquiri and martini night.
Yeah.
Oh. And so they had all of these plastic cocktail glasses. Like
the disposable ones you get at Coles.
Yes.
Not the light up ones you get at Wicked.
No, the ones that literally the bottoms fall off when you pick it up.
Oh, great.
But as Toby said, it's a really good sign of a great bar when they've just come out of the dishwasher as well. Washing the plastic disposable cocktails.
They were washing the disposable cups.
Wow.
That is spectacular.
Oh, it's a pretty glamorous place.
Oh, Hampies. Right there on Lollipop Lane.
Yes. And I just love the way that, you know, this is ostensibly, you know, a report on our tour. And we haven't actually mentioned the show. It's all just been
This is the show.
Yeah, show schmo.
The show is just us talking shit about what happened last night.
Yes.
The show was us being on stage and I just felt like I went to NIDA. I was being semi-raped by you two.
What I noticed about the show was that it had gone down a notch in terms of, because, you know, we get people up from the audience to do things. And hitherto, we had never been quite so ostentatious and just picking hot guys. And the show grinding to a halt. The night I was there, when I woke up, you had some boy on there, some incredibly muscled boy, and the show just ground to a halt. And everybody just was feeling him up.
I know, we just touched him.
We were the whole time physically ogling him.
Yeah.
It's fucking brilliant.
It was like being on stage with three Helen Kellers. We all just had to get
I don't know where the edge of the stage is. There it is.
And of course, like all Muscle Marys, he was just like,
Worked hard for you.
Love that.
Yeah, uh-huh. Wanted it. He was hot.
He was super hot.
He was extraordinary.
I dilated to like 8 centimetres that night.
Yeah. Oh, I need to just pop into the toilet for a minute.
Okay. Oh, well, thanks for coming.
Yeah, you're so welcome.
And
that
thanks
was
for
Adelaide.
Doing the show. It was awesome.
Wonderful. We did have a good time, didn't we?
That's one word for it.
Yeah. We were there.
It was on.
So you might have seen the Newport gig.
Oh, that was awesome.
It was a good gig, but we were smacked.
Yeah.
No clothes on.
Yeah, that's right. You had your shirt off.
Smashed and nude.
What about fucking Wes's mum? Mari goes, nobody but Adam could do that. Only Adam could pull that off. Like, I'm like, I wore no t-shirt because it was wet. Like, I had no... There was no reason for it other than I was fucking soaking wet and drunk enough to do it. The fact that we didn't even mention it. Like, it was not even brought up.
Finest moment.
But, yeah, I think that kind of just overcomes every rational thought that goes into your head sometimes.
How much would you take in the till in a night at working at Club X? Out of everything. Ram Lounge, videos, everything.
I don't know exactly.
Roughly.
We got a commission because it was, you know, technically... At the time, those videos were illegal and
there
was a conviction, so they had an incentive, which was we would get a percentage of the gross.
Yep.
And I was studying at RMIT, and in one weekend, I wiped out my ability to get off study.
Really?
Right.
So they would be turning over, what, like $5,000, $6,000 in a night?
It depends. Like, really busy at Grand Prix and Christmas for some reason.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Like, some nights it'd be really lean and you wouldn't, you'd be lucky to make a grand.
It's a big business.
Yeah.
Like, when you look at bars and you think about how much money bars make.
Yes.
Sex shops are making that much.
Well, bars are taking, bars are making money at, $5-6 at a time because that's how much a drink costs. We're talking about videos that cost $30
or $50, $60. Yeah.
You know, that's the DVDs. And then there's the, you know, I was really good at selling blow-up dolls. Which
special gift.
Yeah.
Which cost like $600-700, the really good one.
Yeah.
I was really good at it.
Do you know how many sluts you can bang for $600.
Oh my god!
Why would you buy a doll?
I just, but you know, you have a talent for selling blow up dolls. I've known you for over a decade now, Richard, and I still learn things about you.
I was really good at just convincing people that they wanted it, like just by speaking really frankly and plainly.
Yeah, right.
About it, like by not.
Being, she won't say no.
Not being lascivious about it. Not being kind of
matter of fact.
Yeah, being really matter of fact, like going, oh, okay, well, this one it feels like a balloon, whereas this one she's got flock on her skin, so it's soft. It doesn't feel like plastic.
Flock. That just makes me think of train sets.
This one, I know it's. But you have to, you know, these people are coming in. They want to spend. If they're going to spend $400 or $500 on a blow up doll.
They want the best.
Holy cow.
They don't want, you know, something that they're going to get on top of and burst. And also, I would point out, well, this one's rated to 120 kilos. You're quite a thin guy. You know, you could really probably do some damage with this and it'll be fine.
Give her a real walloping.
Yeah.
You could give this toy balloon a real thrashing.
Yeah. And I was like, she won't make you toast and she won't argue back.
But it's a big business.
It is big business. And it's all very kind of above the counter now and very kind of matter of fact. And it's
which
all,
I think is
it's
healthy.
It's kind of mainstream. Yeah, absolutely.
It's
absolutely.
Better. It's better now.
Yeah.
I was also really good at selling vibrators to lesbians.
Right.
In Brunswick. Oh, my God. They were coming, do you have anything that doesn't look like a penis? I'm like, yeah, I've got this thing that's full of beads and has a little vibrating thing on the outside. And they're like, that's old.
Bring it.
Done. Done.
Well, I went to Sexyland a little while ago with a female friend of mine because she wanted a vibrator.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like walking into David Jones now.
I know, it's really close. Mm.
Yeah, it's really close. They're all female
and
staff.
That, we and started that in Brunswick. Bright lights, no dinginess, no dark corners, all really well lit. And people would come in and feel quite welcome and feel like they could...
To go prop shopping for the last one of the shows in the last comedy festival at a sex shop because like sort of you know kinky you know, silly marital you know like dick earrings and all that sort of stuff but yeah it's really quite corporate and fun in a way and it's not you don't have to go in through like a dingy back entrance in the back lane there's female staff and it's like cheeky.
Yeah.
You know, it's not... But they still manage to mix in all the cheeky sort of dick earrings and funny coffee cups and stuff with, like, you know, leather dildos hanging in the corner and
it is quite
and
staggering,
else.
Though, the just the vastness of the kind of... the dildos and toys and things that are available.
Do you know
like,
what?
It's just... thousands
I went
of different
to
times.
Man House, which is on Hoddle Street.
Yeah.
The where, leather shop.
It's like the Dan Murphy's of Amel.
Yes. I thought that was under my bed.
Hey.
No, I went there for the, to buy some lube because we use the silicon lube.
Oh, house, yes.
Because it's much slipperier than the water based.
Doesn't
it's
that all, stain?
It does stain. Those 1,300 thread count sheets, you know, stained. But, you know, who's coming over to see them? It's just us.
Yeah.
Who cares about the fucking stains?
Well, anyway, there's a cleaning lady.
I went in there and they had on display a digital dildo.
Hang on, what?
Digital dildo?
You can program.
No.
It's hydraulic.
No.
Oh.
You can put, like, it's... You put like your favorite.
You can program.
Oh, so it's like it's like the kind of the treadmill at the gym where you can go up a hill for a bit and then flat and then gets faster and slower.
It will fuck you slowly and then get faster.
Oh my god, that's great!
It's amazing, and you can plug your like
the future is here.
Yes,
the future has arrived. Holy
digital,
cow.
The digital fucker.
Wow.
You hardworking Japanese bottom.
Oh, that's
exciting.
Oh, that's it. I'm off.
That
I'm going.
Yeah, I didn't expect this to go that long.
We've been talking about this for an hour. We've been talking about porn for an hour.
We'll probably need to bone some of the rest of this podcast and move on. Oh, dear.
I believe you would fuck Danny DeVito and you're having a go at me fucking Ian McKellen.
We're not having a go. We're not having a go.
We're having a go. You know who I would fuck in the pantheon of Shakespearean actors with amazing voices?
Yes.
Fucking Jean-Luc Picard.
Oh, Patrick Stewart.
Hot.
Oh, in a heartbeat.
Hot.
Oh, no. No sci-fi fucking for you, Toby.
No. Oh, my God.
Up himself.
Up himself.
Oh, really?
You know, he's a pain in the ass, apparently. Well, in the good way.
Right. Don't speak, Patrick.
When he goes to nerd conventions, all he wants to talk about is, you know, my life in the theatre, and I love working on American Daddy. Hi.
hates
nerds and he hates talking about science fiction.
Yeah,
and
see,
shit.
Up himself. Wow. Yeah. He would be the whole time, you like that, I thought you might.
Yes. Even that's kind of hot. Even that's annoying, it's hard.
You know, the other thing is, like, you know, you go, oh, he's so amazing in all the characters he plays, but then you look at his real life, and he, like Kelsey Grammer, he's had a string of booby blonde bitches.
Oh, really?
That he's been married to over several
years. All right, that's it, I'm dyeing my hair.
Who would I fuck out of sci-fi? I suppose I'd fuck most of the Doctor Who's.
Yeah, David Tennant.
But that's a pretty obvious thing.
Really? Yeah. See, I've never had a sexual thing with Doctor Who.
Really?
Yeah, I think because, you know, it's always been about...
Not even
know,
William Hartnell?
Oh, that old coot.
Yeah.
I'd ram his walking stick right up his ass. No, there's no... I don't know. I have a very... weird relationship.
What else is sci-fi? Does Starship Troopers count as sci-fi?
Yeah, I'd fuck half of the cast of Starship Troopers.
Can I claim Casper Van Diem?
Yeah, except Starship Troopers was cast like a fucking soap opera.
Yeah.
Happy.
Yeah.
Right, no, how did we get onto this?
I don't know, but you'd let E.T. finger you.
That would be like having a colonoscopy.
Oh, that'd be great, yeah.
A little light at the end.
Yeah.
I'm going to think about this.
Come on, E.T., turn on my heart light.
What about the guy that was in the A-Team that was also in the first series of Battlestar Galactica?
Oh, Faith.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does he count?
Yeah. Can in kind of an 80s Don Johnson way.
How did we get onto
this? This segment is now going for 18
gone for 15
years.
Minutes.
Well, Adam was talking about sci-fi. Who's sci-fi? And I can't... Because sci-fi, they're always wearing like those horrible Nehru tops.
I would. This might be embarrassing. I'd fuck Worf.
Really?
Yeah.
What's Worf?
From Star Trek.
He's a Klingon.
Yeah.
With a ridged forehead.
Oh, really?
Like, yeah. Looks like someone's like a Mars bar on his forehead.
Yeah. Oh, man. That would be dirty.
No, I think it'd be boring. He's not a great
No. You could just...
You
know, I don't know.
Are you fucking the character or the actor?
Oh, a little bit of both. No, the...
You want him to fuck you with his bat lift?
I want him to rim me because that ridge on his forehead will fit perfectly into my butt crack. That's pretty much it.
What's Klingon dirty talk like?
Ah, my God! Oh, la! Ha! No more! It's like Jabba the Hutt played backwards.
I would fuck the fake Worf from Stargate Atlantis. Okay, now I'm getting off track.
Ah, right. Oh, the one with all the eyeliner?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, it's like he's just come from Mardi Gras.
I love it. He's playing Conan the Barbarian in a new Conan movie.
Is he?
Yeah, I looked at the trailer the other day and went, I don't care what happens in this film, he's got no shirt on. Right, there we go.
There we go. That was, would ya? Wow.
Toby's still thinking.
Yeah.
What about the Indian from Big Bang Theory?
Really?
Yeah, I would.
Right.
Maybe if he was driving a cab.
Is that sci-fi? Can I claim that as sci-fi?
No, that is so not sci-fi. You were really clutching at straws.
Well, I don't really do sci-fi, so I don't really...
You don't have to.
I don't really know.
I don't know how this ended up.
Let's talk about who would fuck from Eurovision. Now who's the king? Now who's the king?
Not Dima Bilan. He's too small.
Not Dima Bilan. Dreadful. Eric Saad from Sweden.
Right.
I had a heartbeat.
Any of the... I think it was last year. Any of the Greek dancers...
Suckus Ruvus.
You brought him, you Suckus Ruvus.
And his electric stapler. Brilliant.
Oh, heaven.
Brilliant.
Oh, we have to stop.
We have to stop.
Because as soon as we start Eurovision, Toby goes up.
That's
like,
it.
We actually will be start masturbating in a minute.
Yeah.
I'll be here for fucking hours.
It's time once again for Top or Bottom. We do have our unpaid bottom whispering intern, Wes Snelling, in the house again.
Just because it's free doesn't mean it's not good.
No, exactly. And now last time we did Top or Bottom with you, you deciphered Harry Potter and the Ginger. And there was some discussion about redheads not being able to top. So we have set this one for you. We have a Ginger, Julia Gillard, and that hairdresser she hangs around with. Who is top or bottom out of the Prime Minister?
I think on top of the fact that the Gingers, you know, Toby's Gingers don't top, you know.
Ginger don't top. Red don't top.
Statement.
Red don't top.
I would agree with it in this scenario. Can you really imagine Julia being power top when she goes home because she's, you know, I just reckon she'd... By the time she gets home and meets up down a back laneway, it's just got to be...
You think it's that cliche of like in control in business.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's
the relinquishes control in the bedroom.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
Yeah, right.
So she's so forceful all day. When she gets home, it's just, come on, Tim. Get in it. Get in it.
And come on, get up, mate.
Yeah.
It's like she's calling the dogs in.
Yeah.
Get out. Get around the back.
But her voice wouldn't really lend itself to topping you either. No. Would it be like,
all right, get on your knees.
Yeah.
I've got my strap on, and I will be giving you a right rogering.
Yeah.
I can imagine her doing a little bit of tit rubbing face, though. You know that thing?
Oh my God. And the good thing is that if she gets smushed against the headboard, he can fix her hair.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, this is the other thing. I mean, hairdresser.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, by the bed, there's like condoms, lube, and a can of Seedl.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Oh my scrunch and go.
Wow. That's really cleared it up.
That has cleared up a lot of things.
I'm surprised. I have to say I'm surprised by that. Yeah. I trust your instincts.
Yeah. I think you're spot on.
Yeah. I think that's
Julia. Sub.
Julia. She's a sub. Now, Wes, we know you're a bit obsessed with Bette Midler.
Yeah.
And I have a surprise for you.
Oh, my Lord.
I have found on the internet a scene from Big Business.
Oh, my God.
Where Lily Tomlin.
Where are the twins?
The twins, yeah. Bette Midler and Lily Tomlin play twins who are swapped.
Oh, my God. Two Bette Midlers for the price of one. It was heavy.
Well, you know, Lily Tomlin was not the original star of that film.
Yeah, she was second choice.
She was second. They filmed for a week and the first choice did not work out.
It
was the same with Beaches. It was it's Bette Midler versus Adolf Hitler.
You're not my sister. She didn't say to my mother, but she started to be there to be took a black top. Won't you learn that they were better than me?
Thank God. Yes, are they real? They're robots. They want to kill us and take our places. Oh, you've seen too many movies.
It's Hector.
God, it's me with a bad haircut.
A robot.
Man, I paid $12 for this.
But I am a fan and made it so far not a patrol bug.
All right. Who are you and where the hell do you come from?
Oh, dearie me.
Hitler versus Midler.
I think they made the right decision in recasting.
Yeah, Lily Tomlin was far more masculine. Oh, thank you so much, Wes Snelling.
Thank you, Wes.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that.
Oh, yeah, I had to lie down during all of that. That was great.
How do you sleep with all that bumping noise at the bottom? Who knows? We'll be back next week with a normal, real one.
Well, yeah. Normal? Do we do normal?
No.
Can
we get some celebrities to endorse us on the next one?
Yeah.
Sure.
I want like a, hi, I'm Linda Evans, star of TV's Dynasty.
But
there's nothing I enjoy more than an episode of the Poofcast.
Yes.
Would we have to get her, or are you just going to do
it? No, I'll just do it.
Okay, okay, cool.
Hi, I'm the King of Bahrain. There's nothing I enjoy more than a heavy day of suppressing rioters than listening to the Poofcast.
There we go.
Like that.
Yeah, great.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah.
Hi,
work on that.
I'm Ron Blagojevich, corrupt governor of Illinois. There's nothing I enjoy more after a heavy day of corrupting the democratic process than the Poofcast.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I can do heaps of it. Hi, I'm Sarah Palin. There's nothing I enjoy more than a day of legislating gun control. Oh, no, she doesn't.
No. How about,
I can't do Sarah Palin.
How about,
hi, I'm Michelle Obama. There's nothing I enjoy more than a day of redecorating the White House than listening to the Poofcast. I'm going to do it. Give me one.
Hello,
me one.
Hello. This is Rhonda Birchmore.
That is far too high-pitched.
I can do anyone at all. Just throw it at me.
All right.
Anyone.
Eddie Maguire.
Hi, I'm Eddie Maguire. There's nothing I enjoy more after a day of appearing on everything than listen to the Poofcast.
Mother Teresa.
Hi, I'm Mother Teresa. There's nothing I enjoy more than scraping flies out of the eyes of dead bitches in the street than listen to the Poofcast. Next.
Oh, mate, we can't. There's no next after that.
No.
Is that it?
I think
that's
it.
That's what we call in the old money a closer.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, please address everything to Toby Sullivan.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm a defamation lawyer.
Are you hey dad's defamation lawyer? He'd be a busy cunt. Poofcast at talkingpoofy.com.au if you want to complain about jokes about children with fights.
Yeah.
We'll be here again, hopefully.
Soon.
Mr. Humphries, leave my pussy alone.
I just went gay all of a sudden.
It's funny because it's true.
You sound gay. You look gay. You're gay.
Puffcast.
Well, now we've got that sorted out, can we get on?
Puffcast.
Hello, Jiggers. This is the fabulous Adam Richard. I hope you enjoyed this bits and pieces podcast. Now, we have reached the end of the alphabet in the gay to Z, and we've been doing the podcast for, well, the better part of a year now. So we're going to take a little break, and then we're going to come back with volume two, which will be a new, shiny, polished up turd of a show. Probably the same thing we've already been doing. But we will be back in a few weeks' time. But me and the boys will be getting back together very soon and having some poofcasts for y'all.